This week on Geeksplained, this year's X-May interlude teams up the Merc with a Mouth with the deadliest mutant alive, ahead of their big screen clash this summer. Join me as I put the Geeksplained spotlight on Declan Shalvey and Mike Henderson's Deadpool vs. Old Man Logan. Welcome back to Geeksplained. I'm your host, Eric Azana, and today's episode is part 3 of X-May 2024, the month-long series where I dedicate the entirety of May to Marvel's Merry Mutants. This week is a bit of an interlude. Just like last year, I'm taking the third week of the month to just sit down by myself and chat with you, the listener, about a story you might not have read. Now, last year, I got a lot of good feedback and a lot of people telling me that they had never read the Guardians of the Galaxy / All New X-Men crossover, The Trial of Jean Grey. So hopefully, I can make this a little tradition in itself to talk about stories that kind of flew under the radar, I feel. And this year, we are taking a look at Declan Shalvey and Mike Henderson's Deadpool versus Old Man Logan. Now, this is a story that I feel like had a lot of hype going into it because Declan Shalvey is one of the, I think for me, one of like the top 10 Wolverine artists in comics. He's also done a fair amount in Deadpool as well. And one of my favorite Deadpool stories that I talked about years ago, back when Deadpool 2, I think, came out, is the crossover where Deadpool teamed up with Wolverine and Captain America, and they raided a Weapon X facility. Love that story. If you haven't read it, go check that out. But that was one of the stories that introduced me to Declan Shalvey's art. And I have loved his stuff ever since. Unfortunately, he's not on art for this one, which is okay. I'll be getting into it as we go along here. But honestly, I want to say a huge thank you first off to everybody who's been super kind about X-May. Hype has been at an all-time high, lots of great feedback. We even got some reviews and some ratings, so I want to say a huge thank you for that. I hope you've been enjoying it. I love X-May. I love this time of year, getting to put together episodes with some super cool folks. And don't worry, more guests are on the way. So we will get into what comes next later on down the line. So stay tuned for that after the jump. But for now, let's just roll right on into it. I am just hyped up right now to talk about X-Men, especially because this week, as of this recording, we've got X-Men 97 airing its finale. I don't know how to feel about it. I'm very nervous, but very excited. And of course, we've got all the other mutant stuff going on right now. Storm just got announced as the next member of the Avengers. There's just a lot of exciting things going on. So let's keep this hype train rolling. Let's keep this X-May train rolling as we roll right on into the main event, the main course, the entree, if you will, as I put the Geeksplained spotlight on Declan Shalvey and Mike Henderson's Deadpool versus Old Man Logan. What happens when the fight is over? What are you left with? What is left in your wake? Who will pick up the pieces? What are you even fighting for anymore? Who are you fighting for? We are talking Deadpool versus Old Man Logan. This was a story that I think is a little underrated, and the fact that people don't immediately jump to talk about it when they got hyped up about the announcement for Deadpool and Wolverine this summer kind of rubbed me the wrong way, to be honest. I mean, I'm not going to say that this is like an all-timer, but I think this story is hella underrated. And so for this year's X-Men interlude, I wanted to talk about this story. This was an interesting story because of the context that was going on around this time when it came to both of these characters. So before we get into the story proper, I think it would be irresponsible of me not to talk about the context for these characters. Let's go to Deadpool first, because he's got top billing on the story. But up till this point, I mean, Deadpool had been going through a resurgence thanks to his popularity through video games, animated media, his film and second film that was coming out around this time as well. Deadpool was thriving and had just finished up, or was in the midst of, maybe, I don't know, the timeline is weird. Anything pre-2020 is just weird to me. Like, I don't understand how time works anymore. But he was really riding high in the comics thanks to a long run by Jerry Duggan, who has been helming things over at the X office in recent years. But we had introduced certain characters into his lexicon, had teamed him up with some of Marvel's mightiest heroes, as well as given him an extra little nugget of backstory, that being that he has a daughter named Ellie, and how much of a mindfuck that whole revelation was to him. This run also featured a story that I mentioned at the top, which is The Good, the Bad, the Ugly, which teams up Deadpool, Wolverine, and Captain America to go after a government facility because it's getting up to some shady shit. And it's during this time when you really see the kind of bond that Deadpool has with Wolverine in this era, in the kind of mid to late 2010s. Unfortunately, this is around the same time that Wolverine was going through some changes of his own. After being infected with a virus, Wolverine had basically been robbed of his healing factor, and so he was wearing this orange and black suit. Serious evolution vibes, but he was slowly dying because of the loss of his healing factor. The adamantium in his body was slowly killing him, giving him adamantium poisoning, essentially. And so we got this story, The Death of Wolverine, that concluded with him, I guess, not so much succumbing to his injuries as much as being encased in adamantium. The story, which is very good, would recommend for sure, is about him kind of letting go and being able to pass things on and being able to rest finally after all the hundreds, I would say decades, if not hundreds of years that he's been alive. And so the world found itself without a Wolverine, and that mantle was thankfully picked up by the best Wolverine, Laura Kinney. And she was doing her thing, which left kind of a 5'3" sized hole in the Marvel Universe. I want to say Laura is taller than him, but I don't know for sure. And because of the events of 2015's Secret Wars, the incredible, maybe best ever comic book event, we found ourselves revisiting a Logan from an alternate reality, an Elseworld, if you will, a what-if story, you might say, where the old man Logan that was made popular in, I want to say, the late 2000s, if not the early 2010s, brought together the Wasteland. This was a piece of the Marvel multiverse that had been patchworked into the battle world of Hickman's 2015 Secret Wars. And in here, we got to see the continuation of Old Man Logan's story. He lived in a world where the villains had won. There was one day, a day unlike any other, where all the heroes lost. Every villain got together, and in a coordinated attack, they ousted the heroes, resulting in the deaths of almost all of them. And during this attack, Mysterio had taken over Logan's senses and forced him more or less to kill all of the other X-Men, taking them off the board. Logan, for decades afterwards, did not pop his claws. He settled into a humble farmer's life with his wife and his two children. And unfortunately, that farm happened to be in the Hulk's territory. Bruce Banner, who had been driven crazy by gamma radiation and nuclear radiation, had gotten himself a little clan of Hulk hillbillies, and they were enforcing their law and their rule on Logan and his farm. One thing came to another, and the Hulk clan ended up killing Logan's family, causing him to pop his claws for the first time in decades, go on to kill them, and then take a little baby, a little Brucey Jr., off into the wasteland. In Secret Wars, we got to see the continuation of that. Logan had been separated from Bruce Jr., and in the midst of the Secret Wars happening, Logan found himself, once the multiverse had been reset, in the 616. And so he was committed, believing himself to be legit from the future and not an alternate reality. He set about going around and making it so his future could never happen, going after the likes of Mysterio, coming into conflict with the Avengers. And so at this point, Logan has settled into this new status quo. He is an old, old man. He's settled into the Avengers, not the Avengers, the X-Men. I believe he's part of the X-Men Gold team at this point, back when the Blue and Gold books were going on. And so this is a very different Logan than Deadpool is used to, a very different Wade than Logan is used to at this point, because he's lived decades without him. And so what this story does is it pits these two characters together who do not have a past history with each other, and they throw in a little bit of intrigue with this mutant named Maddie. Now, Maddie is a character who I believe only appears in this story by itself. That's it. Which is tragic, because I think her power set is really cool. So Maddie has this ability to teleport, but there is a catch. She can only teleport inorganic objects. So things that aren't living. We're talking about materials, cars, houses, planes at one point. And her ability does not allow her to teleport organic beings, or so we think at the beginning of this story. So let's talk about the beginning of this story. Now, I remember the announcement for this. This book was announced, and the preview of this was literally just the first pages of the first issue, which sees in more or less a one-shot spread across probably four, I guess not a one-shot, but, you know, in a cinematic term or a film term or a TV term, this would be a static shot. And it takes place over the course of four pages, and it was the perfect way to market this book, because it's this serene-looking highway where Logan and Wade are running, and then they get crushed by a truck. They climb their way out of the truck, and they get crushed by a tank. They climb their way out of the tank, they get crushed by another bigger semi-truck, and then they fight their way out of the semi-truck, all the while Old Man Logan's chasing, it looks like he's chasing after Wade, and he's telling him, "I told you not to double dare them," as it pans back to see a plane plummeting down on top of them. The marketing on this was genius. I mean, you get something like a you know, a Deadpool story and you expect a little bit of slapstick, but throwing in Old Man Logan, especially, you know, throwing in Wolverine in general, but especially this version of Wolverine was, I think, a genius idea, because these are two characters who are at the opposite end of the superhero spectrum here. Deadpool at this point is the despicable Deadpool. So he has just, you know, had his turn being kind of a piece of shit. And so having him alongside this Logan who has seen it all and done it all, I think was a really great choice. And the story, I should get into the credits here. Obviously, as I said, written by Declan Shalvey, art by Mike Henderson, colors by Lee Luffridge, and letters by VC's Joe Sabino. I think, and I'll just be upfront here, I would have preferred the art to have been done by Shalvey as well. This is no disrespect to Mike Henderson. Henderson is a really good artist, and I think if there was someone to do this book that wouldn't be Shalvey, I think he does as good of a job as you can with this. But this is one of those situations where I think, on one hand, Shalvey is mostly known for his comic book art, and you see his art on the covers. The covers are fantastic. And then you open the book, and it's not his art. However, I think they both do a great job with this. Shalvey has, you know, a pretty clear voice for both Wolverine and Wade. And Henderson's art does enough to evoke Shalvey without trying to be like a great value Shalvey. The colors are really nice as well. The pacing, I think, is really well done. Every chapter starts with more or less a thesis statement on that specific chapter. The quote I did at the top, I believe, is from issue 4 of the 5-issue miniseries. And the pacing, I think, does a really great job in keeping that, you know, that mystery going as long as you're able to before you figure it out for yourself. It also does a great job in page turns. You know, from our book club podcasts, that we love a good page turn. And the page turns in this book are really well done, showing escalation, showing slapstick, showing some pretty terrible shit as well. It's just a really good book when it comes to the technical aspect. Now, talking about the story, the story starting off with Old Man Logan already kind of in pursuit of Maddie, who is being chased by this like bargain bin. What is it? This bargain bin Weapon X that's not really Weapon X. It's called Genform, and it's this company that is looking to capture mutants and utilize their abilities for the military-industrial complex. Not a radically new idea, but as we start to get into the story and we see literally Deadpool running across Old Man Logan by happenstance, they happen to be on the same subway, the two of them kind of get into it as Logan is trying to chase down Maddie, because Maddie popped up on Cerebro, not only being chased by Genform, but also the fact that according to Cerebro, I don't know if I would classify her this way, but according to Cerebro, she is an Omega-level mutant. Now, with that being said, again, I don't know if I would consider her to be an Omega-class mutant, though I would say her power is pretty dangerous in a way. So the way that it's explained here, I want to read this so I make sure I don't get this incorrect. It said, her mind has the ability to map the environment around her within a certain radius. Sometimes it's extended, sometimes it's just in the immediate vicinity around her. But when her mind expands to map that radius around her, it catalogs its entire geography and every single object within it. She's then capable of selecting any given item within that area and teleport it regardless of its size, including herself. She can teleport herself, but she can't teleport other organic beings. It can, with a caveat. You know, the entire book is mainly centered around her not being able to do that, but then it's revealed later on that she can. I don't know if I already said spoilers, but hey, spoiler warning here for the story. Her powers do extend to living beings. However, if she tries to teleport a person, immediately their body gets ravaged by the effects and they die, unless they have like a healing factor, which might come in handy later. Though for whatever reason, it doesn't apply to Maddie when she teleports herself. So a lot of the story is her teleporting inanimate objects, her trying to use them to either on the defensive or on the offensive when she's being manipulated by Genform. But the entire story, I think, is very interesting, especially in the aspect of, you know, we're looking ahead to Deadpool and Wolverine. This is a story about two people who have gone through a big change in their lives. Deadpool finding out about his secret backstory, Old Man Logan being dropped in this new reality that he has the opportunity to change. In his own solo story, which I think is really good, he does eventually find out that this is a multiverse and that the events that he influences here don't change the present that he was accustomed to. It doesn't change his present, which is a really tragic part of that book. Go read Old Man Logan. That book is surprisingly really good for the gimmick, and he is now trying to find his way. So like the quote said at the beginning, you know, his fight is more or less over. And so now he's trying to figure out what to do next. And in the story, he believes, as he has so many times across so many iterations, across so many stories, he's trying to save this young girl. Now, if you are familiar with Logan in the comics, he has a thing for... There's this trope that he fits into, this, you know, lone wolf and cub thing where he ends up mentoring young girls, whether it's Kitty Pryde, Jubilee, Armor. One of the things that he does a lot in comics is he provides that kind of older brother slash father role for these characters. And so he kind of is forcing himself into this story in the same way that he thinks Deadpool is forcing himself into this story. Deadpool, there's a moment when the two of them, I want to find it real quick, where they have this conversation about, you know, why are we getting involved in this? And Wolverine says, you know, like, or Wolverine, Old Man Logan says, you know, I'm not going to let this, you know, are we going to let this girl be used, you know, by this military organization? And the two of them, after going through the things that they have gone through, that is the one thing that they agree on. That is the one thing that they are intent on doing and are willing to put up with each other to accomplish, to make sure that she isn't used and experimented on by this organization. And so the two of them decide to team up to protect her from Genform. But again, they're kind of forcing themselves into Maddie's story. Maddie, at several points during the story, says that she doesn't want their help. She doesn't need their help. And eventually, when she is captured, she is more or less... It's revealed that she is, that this whole situation is of her own doing. She wanted to be captured by Genform so that she could find out more about her ability, so that she could find out more about her powers and how they work. And she knew that Genform would be able to find that out. And so this is literally a situation where Maddie is the main character of this story, and Logan and Deadpool keep forcing themselves into her story against her wishes. And when she's, you know, when she's captured, when she is taken away, here, I finally found the page. Logan says, you know, I don't think she can teleport people, just objects like that dumpster or the motorbike. And Deadpool's like, that's the dumbest power I've ever heard of. And Logan says, well, maybe, but these Genform mopes still seem to think they can make a weapon out of her. Been there, done that. Can't say I'd recommend it. Would you? And we get this like close up, this push in on Deadpool, who says, no, I wouldn't. And then they decide to team up and go find her. I will say, you know, I again don't want to come across like I am disparaging Henderson's art here, because it's very good. He has a really good eye for visceral action. Like, there's a page where Logan is just shot up by this helicopter, and the image of him, you know, throwing himself into the air, being riddled with bullets as his claws are popped, it's really cool. This is also kind of a gory comic as well. This isn't something that I would say is for all ages, but we do see some really inspired moments of art in this when it comes to the composition, the layouts, all of it. And so, again, I have to stress, while I would have preferred Shalvey's art in this just because I love Shalvey's art, Henderson was, I think, the right person to tell this story. And so, with the two of them pursuing and going off to go after Genform, who have captured Maddie, the two of them find themselves in this testing area where we catch up with the beginning of the story and the two of them getting like pummeled with objects. It's just a wonderful story. The book even does reference the story that I had mentioned earlier, which I thought was really fun. And if you go from that book to this book, there is a through line between the two. But I just really enjoy seeing the three of them, who are on completely different pages, all three of them at different times, completely three different pages, having to deal with each other. I love ensemble stories when they do that. And when Ellie finds herself locked in a room with Deadpool and Logan is being experimented on, Deadpool comes up with this plan where he's like, okay, I have a plan. It's not a very good one, and I don't think anybody's going to like it, but we're going to do it. And, you know, she does the coolest thing. You know, she talks, you know, they talk about how she can teleport inanimate objects. And so to break them out of their cell, she teleports Logan's claws into Wade. I do not know how that works for a few reasons. I mean, the metal, I could see them being transported, but them being the actual claws, which are bone claws, and does that count as organic or inorganic? This is one of those stories where you can't get too bogged down with some of the explanations for things or think too hard about them, because it's just fucking cool to see Deadpool pop out with Wolverine's claws and start mauling a bunch of soldiers. And so we see Wolverine get his claws back. Old Man Logan goes into his berserker rage. There's a fun moment where, like, he tells Deadpool and Maddie to run. Maddie doesn't understand what's happening, but Deadpool tucks her under his arm like a football and runs away with her. And the soldiers are just mauled by Weapon X. There's a great double page spread where Logan is ripping through these soldiers here. And it's just, it is a story about trying to fight against your nature, I think, in a way. There is an argument, I think, to be made about all three of these characters more or less trying to fight against their better and worse natures. There's a twist in here where Logan and Deadpool disagree on what to do with Maddie for the conclusion of the story, and it ends up with them having to fight again. And the reasoning for both of them is really strong, and I think is embedded into their journey and where they are at in those journeys as they stand in comics at this point. And again, Maddie as herself is a very active character. She's not like a oh, just to throw something out there, a Cass Kane in the Harley Quinn, the Birds of Prey movie, which, again, I have to always say, I really like that movie, but that is not Cassandra Kane. But this character, who is more or less just a MacGuffin, a person to chase, who doesn't really have a character of her own, I don't think, is not what you would describe Maddie as. She has pathos, she has goals, she has ulterior motives alongside the secrets she's keeping about her powers. You know, it is a fascinating, it's a fascinating story about three people who are at three very different stages of their lives, having to reckon with the fact that they are killers in their own way. And when the story wraps up in a brisk pace, this series is only 5 issues, and I think it is incredibly well paced, and it, you can sit down for maybe an hour and read through this entire thing, and it breezes by. When we get to the conclusion of the story, the three of them on very different pages, and the three of them having to reckon with the secrets and the reveals of those secrets, it's a really fascinating, you know, a really fascinating denouement on the idea of where they think they are in this story. You know, each one of them sees themselves as the hero. Maddie, Wade, and Logan all see themselves as the hero of this story. And the fact of the matter is, none of them are. At the end of the day, you know, this is, I think, at its heart, Maddie's story. And it's one of those situations where, you know, the argument I think has been made that some of the best superhero movies are genre films that just happen to be disguised as superhero films. And this is kind of one of those situations where it's these two knuckleheads wandering into Maddie's story and reaping the consequences of that. And, you know, with them having to deal with not just the idea that they are not the heroes of this particular story, they also have to reckon with the idea that they might not be heroes in any story. Again, Deadpool is going through his despicable Deadpool phase. Old Man Logan's time has passed him by, and Maddie is dealing with the fact that she might not be as squeaky clean as is assumed at the beginning of the story. And so the three of them going from point A to point B from the beginning to end, they each go on a journey, and some of them tend to lean towards the darker aspect of your hero's journey. And calling it a hero's journey might be unfortunate wording in that respect. However, you do get to see them grow and change. And by the end of this story, they have... This isn't a reset back to zero kind of story. And while they would go on to have their own adventures, Deadpool would continue to see his stock raised, being brought in as an Avenger, being elevated into, you know, A-list status, getting several different runs after this. Old Man Logan would go on to die, which is unfortunate. You know, he'd go on to have this really great Dead Man Logan story that I would also recommend. Right on the eve of the 616 Wolverine coming back from the dead. The two of them, you can tell that the story has affected them. And even though they have spent years being weapons and watched other people become weapons, they don't want to see this happen to Maddie. And whether or not that does happen, you are just going to have to go read the book and find out. I don't know what to tell you. I'm sorry. I don't want to spoil everything that happens. Even the stuff that I've talked about, you know, the writing I think is really strong. Like I said, the voices for each character are really well utilized here. The action is frenetic. It is kinetic. It is all the Etic words. It's really fun. It's slapstick at times and brutal at other times. And I think really does a good job at making use of both of these characters in their, maybe not purest form, but I think most distilled form for a story like this. Like I said, a brisk 5 issues of them running from point A to point B and trying to figure out what Maddie's story is the whole way. The story does end with a little, you know, moment where one of my favorite little 4 panels of Logan and Deadpool in any situation, whether it's 616 or not. You've probably seen this, even if you haven't read the story. It's a page where, you know, Old Man Logan's at the top and he's looking kind of disgusted because Deadpool just asked for his fist bump. They fist bump and then Logan punches his claws through through Deadpool's fist, and he just looks down and he's kind of sad. I think it's a perfect distillation of those characters and their friendship. So it does end in a very nice way, though that's not the ending of the story. For that, you will just have to read the book. But overall, again, looking at why now? Why did I want to read this book? First off, obviously, Deadpool and Wolverine is coming, and, you know, that story is going to be dealing with, I think, similar themes. You know, this is going into the film a story about Deadpool, who is seeing the end of his universe, more or less, and having to function inside of that. As of recording this, I haven't seen the film, so I don't know how that story is going to end. If he's going to continue on into the MCU, if this is the last Deadpool story, probably not, you know, with company synergy and the money that Deadpool makes, but who knows? And with this being what I assume is the last ride for Hugh Jackman, almost 24 years to the day when the first X-Men movie launched back in 2000, I mean, who knows? These are two people who are, I think, weirdly enough, at a very similar place in their fictional lives as the characters that are in this specific book. It also seems that, just like Logan, the Wolverine in Deadpool and Wolverine might be pulling some from the old man Logan story. So I don't know. But I do think that the idea of these two trying to more or less rage against the dying of the light and trying to maybe quote unquote be heroes one last time makes this story incredibly relevant. So I think just based on that alone, you should go check it out, go pick it up, go read it. It's pretty affordable if you read it on digital. Physical is going to be a little bit more difficult and a little bit more expensive, but I would recommend this book. Absolutely 100%. It's a book that is, like I said, a brisk, breezy read. It's really fun from start to finish, and it does give a really nice examination on these two characters who we all know and love, but seem to be getting more and more depth brought to them with every new story that comes out. So that does it for this story. I'm very excited for Deadpool and Wolverine, and this might not be the last time I revisit stories featuring them this year. No spoilers, but you never know. But I am very excited to see this film. I'm excited to see if they do end up lifting anything from this story, because I think we've seen recently that movies love to homage comic book stories, and even though this isn't a story that I think people immediately reach for when asked, you know, what's your favorite Deadpool Wolverine story, the style of this feels very much like the film, at least from the trailers, and I think they would be, it would be unfortunate if they didn't at least lift the moment when the two of them are getting pelted by vehicles. And who knows? Maddie might end up returning. She's never popped up in another comic since this story, which I think is tragic, but she might be the MCU's next major mutant. Crazier things have happened, right? And that is going to bring us to the wrap-up. If this is the first time you're joining us on the Geeksplained podcast and you like what I do here, feel free to subscribe to us on the podcasting platform of your choice and give us a rating and review. We drop new episodes all this month. This is right smack dab in the middle of Geek Week, where we are Monday through Friday. It's not a usual thing, but for the month of May, thanks to X-May, we are dropping episodes every single Wednesday, every single Friday, and now every single Monday. More on that later. And honestly, ratings, reviews, and subscriptions really do help me and the podcast out in this weird podcasting algorithm space, raises up our stock, and gets us out and into the orbit of listeners just like you. And if you give us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, whatever you want to call it, I will read your review here live on the podcast. You can write literally anything you want. I will be forced to read every single word, just like our new friend. I'm going to try and read this. Fugdees HKP, who writes, I hate Damian Wayne. He's the worst Robin. That comes from Fugdees HKP from Great Britain. Always love getting international reviews, who now joins our terrific 23. Thank you so much to everyone who's written in your reviews, and I cannot wait to hear yours. Yes, yours. If you want to be part of the Geeksplained mailbag, send your emails to geeksplained@gmail.com. Put mailbag in the subject header, and I will read them here on the Wednesday show. If you'd like to keep up to date with the podcast, participate in polls that decide future episodes, get first notification when new episodes go live, as well as series announcements, or if you just want to check out the super cool teasers I've been doing for our book club, I've been getting into video editing. It's not very good video editing. It's the bare bones, simple video editing that I can muster. And is nothing on the level of actual video editors, but I like them. I think they're fun and they do a good job in kind of communicating what's going on with the book club that week. And sometimes, like is the case with last week, makes a book that is not very good seem actually really cool. So if you want to do all that, feel free to follow us on the socials at GeekSplainedPod. That's at GeekSplainedPod on Twitter and Instagram. We're trying to grow that audience, and thankfully, again, we're getting new followers. People are being introduced to us, so we're having a good time. And we always like to shoot the shit on the latest geeky news and stuff over there too. So feel free to follow us for conversations on that kind of thing. We also have. I mean, this week is a busy week, right? Geek Week is in full swing at this point as you're listening to this. This is part three, and we've got two more days left. Monday, we continued with part two of our previously on X-Men series, where we are going through every single X-Men film in the lead up to Deadpool and Wolverine this July. This past Monday, we dropped X2, where AJ Kincaid and I were joined by good brother and friend of the podcast, Chris Dobson. Yesterday, as of this recording, and as you are listening to this, we dropped the latest Spidey Club, which is our book club going through every issue of Jonathan Hickman's Ultimate Spider-Man. Ton of fun, and especially because that particular issue has a lot of significance for me, and if you know me for anything, and you know if you've listened to this for any amount of time, you know exactly why. Tomorrow is very exciting. We have a Creator Club interview where Malcolm Russell Nelson and I sat down with Kelly Thompson. We had a great conversation about Birds of Prey, which I still think, if you remember going back to the top 10 comics in 2024 that you should be reading, ranked number one. We ranked number one. We went from last month talking about how she's writing the best comic at DC for me right now to the very next month getting to sit down and talk with her. So we talk about Birds of Prey. We talk about her experience over at Marvel, her new book Scarlet coming out, and also a little bit about Powerpuff Girls, because she could be writing that too. So that's a really fun conversation that's going to be dropping tomorrow as of this recording. And then this Friday, just like every Friday, we have the Geeksplained Book Club, where every single Friday, I, alongside my fellow amazing friends, are going through every single issue of every single volume of Brian Michael Bendis's New Avengers to celebrate that book turning 20 years old. Time waits for no person. Not ever, not once. Last week, we had to deal with the first volume of the Mighty Avengers book, which is a bad book. So if you want to listen to us talk about a bad book, go feel free to join us for last week. This week, we're talking about good books. We are getting ready for the next major event in the Bendis run with the next volume of New Avengers. Basically dealing with the fallout of the Avengers discovering that Elektra was a Skrull, and if you know what's coming next, you know what's coming next. So join us this Friday and every Friday. Avenging Fridays are a real thing, so be there or be square, not a circle. But that is going to do it for this week. I hope you enjoyed our little interlude. Again, talking about a book that I think is good and people should be reading more of. But next week, it's back to X-May with guests as I sit down with not just good brother Malcolm Russell Nelson, my partner in crime, my right-hand man, my good time boy. We are also going to be joined by Dallas of the Comics Collective podcast to talk about Uncanny X-Men, the Brian Michael Bendis and Chris Bacalo book that I fucking love. I have been wanting to talk about Revolutionary Cyclops for a while, and if you've been watching X-Men 97, you know that he might be a-coming. He might be coming sooner than you think. So we're going to sit down and talk about this. It's been years since I've revisited this story, so I'm very excited to sit down with both of them and just really dig into what we like, what we dislike, and how the revolutionary era of Cyclops might still be Cyclops's best era. So join us next week, same geek time, same geek channel, for that discussion. But for now, for X-May, I've been Eric Azana. Thank you so much for listening. I hope everyone is having a wonderful X-May. Good luck to all of us watching X-Men 97 finale, the season one finale, I must say. We've got more seasons coming, so don't you worry. But good luck to all of us. Trauma is incoming. I can already feel it. Everyone stay safe, and we will see you next time.